Good afternoon. I hope you enjoyed your lunch and are in a good mood for my talk. For the next half hour, I'll be talking about multi-level caches. I'd like to start with a historical slide. This is the first computer that was shipped that was equipped with a hard disk. This is 1956. IBM shipped this machine. And the hard disk was an equally bulky component. It went in another truck. 9 years after 1956 was the first paper on read cache, and it was written in Cambridge University. 4 years after that, IBM shipped a machine that had a hard disk and a read cache for the hard disk. And over the last four decades, we have seen numerous read caching algorithms, and these are just a few of those. The most important read cache algorithm, the innovation, in my opinion, is the LRU algorithm. It is 43 years old now, and by no means it's getting old. In fact, if you ask LRU, it would say 60 is the new 40. And let's meet LRU. So I have this thing, if it works. It didn't. All right. So let's try it again. Why would things not work? Okay, so let me try to reopen Microsoft and redo this. Okay, and I'll try it once, otherwise it's okay. Online. Right, one last try. It doesn't matter. Okay, never mind. So LRU was, it's a simple algorithm, although the animation didn't work. And people thought, we'll use it everywhere. And that's what happened. There's a cache in your cell phone. There's a cache in the web server it accesses. There's a cache in the storage virtualization device that the web server uses. There's a cache in the storage controller, in the RAID controller, in the disk cache. So there's a hierarchy of caches everywhere. And is that a good thing or a bad thing? Well, people don't mind a little bit of cache here and there, so maybe it's a good thing. But there was a problem with it. And again, I'm going to try the animation. And it won't work. This is the weirdest thing. All right, I'll do without it. I don't know how. But so in 1992, there was a paper that succinctly expressed the problem with multi-level caching. And the title was, "Your cache ain't nothing but trash." So in this scenario, you have a first-level server, a second-level server. Both of them can have a reasonably large-sized cache. The laptop can also have a reasonably large-sized cache. And what happens is the cache in the first-level server would have some contents which will have a large overlap with the contents in the second level server. And in that sense, the cache in the second level server is not really useful. It's not value for the money you put in. So to avoid this problem, one would say, we should just have one big cache and put it maybe in the laptop or in the first level server. But there are many reasons why that is not possible. One is, you're creating a dependency on external systems. When you want to build a product, you want it to work independent. You don't want to ask the customer to buy a cache in some other product to work with it. There are hardware and software limitations. Your laptop cannot take more than 4 gigabytes, maybe, or the operating system cannot see more, so you need to put caching elsewhere. Also, you need cache for other functions. You need for write caching. You need it for snapshot, backup, recovery. So you might need caching in general in all the devices we're talking about. And the most important reason is, of course, shared cache. So you want to share this cache among multiple downstream servers, so you really cannot aggregate all cache into one. So the next best thing is exclusive caching, and people have tried this. The goal is to get the hierarchy work as if it was a single global cache without forcing everything to be in one place. And you have to be careful. You have to apply it only where it hurts. Okay? So there are three scenarios here that where exclusive caching will definitely help. The left panel is a linear list of caches. There are three caches. You want it to be exclusive. No overlap is necessary there. On the middle, you have large overlap of workloads between the left branch and the right branch, meaning the same set of pages might be accessed through the left branch and the right branch. So there you don't want, you want the stem of the hierarchy to be non-exclusive, but the left branch should be exclusive, the right branch should be exclusive. And if there's a small overlap of the workloads, then you can make the entire hierarchy exclusive. So I cannot stress it more, but again, you need to apply it only where it hurts. Now, people have found many different cases where it does apply, and we have a lot of work there. Sometimes they make the lower cache smart, such that it can figure out what the higher cache has and what it doesn't have and try to keep it exclusive. Sometimes the other way around, the higher cache is smart, tries to guess what the lower cache might have and keep it exclusive. Or simpler way to do things is you let the caches communicate between each other and they'll keep the contents exclusive and therefore work as a big cache. The prime example of multi-level collaboration is the demote technique. What it does is it converts a single-level caching algorithm like LRU into a multi-level exclusive algorithm and such that the entire hierarchy would work as a single aggregate cache. So, one more try, and it won't work. Okay, so I had a simulation that would show you an example where demote technique works. I'll just explain it offhand. So supposing you have a cache here, that's the first cache, closer to the application. You have a second cache here, closer to the disk, and both of them are implementing the demote algorithm. What would happen is pages would go from the disk to this cache, will not be stored here, and from there would go to the top cache, they'll be stored there and given to the application. And this would happen as long as this cache has space. And once this cache has to evict something, it doesn't throw it away, it gives it to the lower cache. That process is the demotion process. So it's sending pages to the lower cache. And that's how it works. And people have written papers about it, but there are problems with that issue. The problem is when a page is accessed, you use bandwidth to send it from the lower cache to the higher cache and to the application. And also when it is demoted, you use bandwidth to get it from the higher cache to the lower cache. So there's almost a 2x bandwidth expenditure with the demote technique than you would have with no demote, maybe with simple LRU. But with the demote technique, you get exclusive caching, so you get more hits. You get more hits in the lower cache. With plain LRU, you would not have gotten all those hits in the lower cache because of the high overlap. So these are the problems. Inter-cache bandwidth usage in the demote technique is something that worries people, especially if you have sequential workloads or random workloads, which do not have a lot of hits. So they would just be using more bandwidth between your caches than is necessary, or maybe your system cannot afford those extra demotions. Because typically systems are not 2x over-provisioned in terms of networking resources. So what that means is when bandwidth is tight, you could in fact hurt your performance by implementing the demote technique. Some cases you'll be fine, but other cases there'll be a performance problem. Also, demotion is something like writes. The higher cache is preparing a page and sending it to the lower cache as if it was a write. So it also involves some processor cycles. So the fundamental question here is, why do we demote at all? Okay, so if you think about it carefully, we demote because the value of the pages that are being evicted from the higher cache is more than the value of the pages in the lower cache. So you want to keep them around. That's why you demote it. So now the question is, can we avoid these demotions which are causing a problem without losing performance? And the answer actually is yes. All you have to make sure is that the value of pages evicted from the higher cache or any cache is the same. So you don't have to give it to some other cache and say, hey, you keep it, because it'll also say, you know, this page is not worth anything to me, so I'll also throw it away. So why don't you throw it away? So you don't need demotions if the value of pages evicted from everywhere is the same. So what we are saying is demote technique takes a cache, breaks it into two, and the green arrow is the demotions. We want a new technique that takes a cache, breaks it vertically, such that what you're demoting from the caches is roughly the same value. And in LRU, the value of a page is its age, okay, how old it is. The older it is, the less value it is. So what we mean is the cache life of both the caches needs to be same. The cache life is the age difference between the LRU and the MRU pages. So this is the new technique. This brings us to the first contribution of the paper, which I call the promote technique, because it does not demote things, it promotes things. So it achieves exclusivity by doing the following. Very simple thing. When a page is accessed and it's going from the disk all the way to the application, one of the caches on the way claim ownership of the page, and only one. So by that, it becomes exclusive. Also, how do the caches communicate? They use a bit with the read reply, so just one bit, 0 or 1, to indicate whether a cache has already owned that page or not. Now, it also promotes valuable pages upwards, because that's also something we want to do. And the way it does it is follows. On each hit, the same thing applies. A page can either stay in the cache or move upwards. And at each cache, there is a quantity called prob promote, which is adapted. And it is the probability with which the page will be promoted upwards. So if you think about a page that gets frequent hits, what will happen is it will soon bubble up in the cache hierarchy if it was not already up. So this is what promote uses to bring pages upwards. Now the question is about aggregate hit ratio. You know, we are saying, okay, hits will go up and it will remain exclusive, but what about the total number of hits? Well, it is actually the same as, or in the same ballpark as demote. Why? Because we are equalizing the cache lives. Now, how do we equalize the cache life? Now, the cache life, to equalize it, you have to send the value. So we regularly send the cache life from the higher cache to the lower cache. If there were more lower caches, you send it to everybody. So each cache knows its cache life and its parent's cache life. And what it does is it uses the prob promote probability, the probability of promoting pages upwards, and tunes it so as to equalize the cache life of its parent and itself. So how is that possible? It's because, you know, if a cache like C2 increases prob promote, what it means is it is increasing the probability with which it will ask its parent to own pages. That means the probability, the parent will get more pages running through its cache, so the life of the cache will be smaller. And vice versa, if the prob promote is decreased at C2, the cache life at C1 would increase. So every cache has this capability of changing cache life of its parent. And this is used throughout the hierarchy to make the cache life equal. So that means that the aggregate hit ratio that you'll observe with the promote technology would be the same as the demote technique. Now, the thing is, we cannot depend on aggregate hit ratio. We've been talking about hit ratios, but in multi-level caching, hit ratio is really a second-class citizen. We should not talk about it. It's not a good performance metric. And why is that? It's because a single hit on a higher cache like C1 may be more important than two hits in the lower cache. So, you know, you have to think about it briefly to understand why. Supposing the lower cache was just the disk, so a hit on the disk is really a miss. So a hit in the higher cache could be more important than multiple hits in the lower cache. The aggregate hit doesn't make a good performance metric. So better metrics are the response time at a given throughput. You know, this everybody agrees is a good performance metric, and this is what we should use for multi-level caching. Or a time to finish a given task as soon as possible. Now, in single level caches, not multi-level, the performance optimal was defined in 1966, 42 years ago. We had this Belady's min algorithm, which gives you what is the maximum optimal performance you can get from a given cache of a given size. This is only valid for single level caches. This is how it works. It needs knowledge of the entire request sequence in advance, and that is what makes it an offline algorithm. And the policy is very simple. It evicts the page with the furthest re-reference time. And it applies only to single level caches where it maximizes the hit ratio. Now, in multi-level caches, we don't necessarily have to maximize the hit ratio because it's not a good performance metric. It's a good thing, but it's not a metric. And we did not have any optimals for multi-level caching so far. So this brings us to the second contribution in this paper, which is bounds for optimal performance. So there are two policies in the paper, optimal upper bound and optimal lower bound. These are bounds on the performance such that the optimal performance will be between these two bounds. And the bounds apply along both the performance metrics simultaneously, average response time, which is a good performance metric, and also inter-cache bandwidth usage, which we have seen is an important thing in multi-level caching because some people can use demotions and not really account for the expense of that. And these bounds are provable, and experimentally we found that they're very close. And these are the first bounds, such bounds for multi-level caching. So let's try to understand them one by one. Optimal upper bound. So this is a conceptual policy. It's not really a policy that you can implement. It gives you the upper bound on performance. So this is how it's done. You apply Belady's min algorithm with increasing scope and compute the hits at each cache level. So you apply Belady's min on the first cache and you get hits. Apply it on the aggregate of the first and the second cache and get hits. And then you can subtract the two to get what hits you want to ascribe to the lower cache. And this way you could do for multi-level caches. So you use the number of hits to compute the inter-cache traffic because the traffic is the misses. And you also use the response times, round-trip times, and the hit values to compute the average response time. So this is the entire OptUB policy. You could do it, and this forms your upper bound on multi-level caching performance. There are provable properties of this upper bound. No policy can have more hits. No policy can have lower inter-cache traffic. And no policy can have a lower average response time. So this is, you know, a truly upper bound, and we have proofs for these properties in the paper. The other, of course, it can be applied to complex hierarchies as well. We are showing a very simple hierarchy here. The other bound is the lower bound. And this is a lower bound. Why? Because it is a practical policy. So you could implement this policy. And it's also very close to optimal. Again, you apply Belady's main algorithm in a cascaded fashion this time. So again, you compute hits for the first cache. And then you compute what is the new request sequence for the subsequent cache. These are the misses that are flowing from the higher cache. And then you compute Belady's hits on the second cache, and you can do it so on. And again, you basically have computed what hits will happen at what level, and then you can use the round-trip response times to compute average response time and also inter-cache traffic. So you use this, and this becomes your lower bound. Again, it can be applied to complex hierarchies as well. So now I'll go into some experiments to look at both these contributions and see how well they work. What I do is I apply the demote technique to LRU and ARC, two algorithms from the domain of single-level caching. What we're talking about today is techniques that you apply to single-level caching algorithms so that they work well in multi-level caching situations. So we apply it to LRU, which is the father of so many algorithms, and ARC, which is arguably one of the strongest competitors in the single-level caching field. We also apply promote to the same two algorithms, and now we'll be comparing promote and demote for LRU and promote and demote for ARC. And we also compute the bounds for every experimental setup to see if the bounds were close together or not. We use a wide variety of traces, and different cache sizes, hierarchies, bandwidth limitations, Not all of them I can cover in this talk, but you can find them in the paper. We also use a framework with some simplifying assumptions. We use fixed response times for the various caches, and you know, we're simulating disks with fixed response times. And we also use single trace-driven workloads on relatively small caches just to make it simpler. And the important thing to note is the scale does not change the comparison between the algorithms. So you could multiply these results by 1,000, and you know, the percentage differences would be the same. So the first result here, on the y-axis is the average response time. On the x-axis, we are increasing the size of each cache in this two-level cache. And what you would see here is that opt, UB, and LB, these are the two bounds, these are very close to each other. And also, they are quite separated from ARC and LRU variants. So the optimals, the optimal lies somewhere in between, and the difference is very useful for us. Further, we notice that promote is better when applied to LRU or ARC than demote when applied to the same algorithms. And the reason is promote, in fact, gets more hits in the top cache than demote. This is a counterintuitive result, but we have seen it on many different real workloads. And these are the averages, 13% more hits on the top cache in LRU and 37% more hits. And more hits in the top cache gives it better response time. Then also, you look at non-exclusive LRU, it's the worst performer, and therefore we want multi-level caching in situations because the average response time with plain LRU is bad. What about bandwidth usage? So bandwidth usage, promote is two times as good than demote, because demote uses twice the bandwidth. And also, if you look at the opt LB and UB, they coincide. That means opt LB is, in fact, an optimal policy in terms of bandwidth usage between the first two caches. And if you look at non-exclusive LRU, it's actually bandwidth efficient. It's not good for average response time, but bandwidth-wise, it is efficient. So what it tells you is that in a limited bandwidth situation, so first of all, promote is significantly better than demote because bandwidth is limited. Demote gets stuck because of bandwidth, and even though it has the same hit ratio, it cannot give you the good average response time. And also, non-exclusive LRU is better than demote, meaning if you did not implement demote, you would be better off. But that never happens with the promote algorithm. Now, also, we vary the relative cache sizes, and you see that you know when you have LRU and LRU, nothing, no demote or promote, when the two caches are of the same size, that's in the middle, it's the worst performer. But with promote and demote, that doesn't happen. And promote is better consistently than demote. So the relative size of the caches also does not change the analysis here. We also did a lot of similar experiments with three-level caches. The results were the same. With tree-like hierarchies, so this is an inverted tree, a regular tree of caches. And we find that promote is two times more efficient, and in terms of aggregate hits, is the same. So, and also it gets more hits in the higher caches. So overall, it's a better algorithm to use. So I'd like to give some results here for opt UB and opt LB. So for bounds, what is important is they have to be close together. You know, that's the value of bounds. And the other thing is, if they are separated from the state of the art algorithms that you have, then that's also a useful piece of information because then you know that you can improve your state of the art algorithms because there is some scope for improvement. So in terms of average response time, what we find is for two-level hierarchies and three-level hierarchies, the bounds are only 2 or 3% separated with a maximum separation on any setup that was 10%. In tree-like hierarchies, inverted tree-like hierarchies, again, the separation was less than 10%. And in terms of intercache traffic, again, as we saw, between the first two caches, they coincide. That is, it's actually optimal. And between the second and the third cache, it's only 3% separated. So the bounds are very close together. So let me just conclude what we have seen here. The first contribution is the promote technique. It outperforms the demote technique that was developed many years back over a wide gamut of workloads and situations. It's more efficient and more versatile than demote. It's versatile because promote can apply to arc, for example, in tree-like situations where demote cannot. It's simpler and easier to implement. And second contribution are these bounds. These are the first bounds for optimal performance for multi-level caching. And these bounds are much better than the state-of-the-art online algorithms. So that means we can do a lot more research in multi-level caching. And again, it's simple to compute and use. So, you know, two things that I expect from this work is we'll use these bounds to guide future research, and also we'll explore a new class of demotionless multi-level caching algorithms, because demotions are never good. Thank you for your attention. Questions?
Ajay Gulati, VMware, very interesting work. I just have a question regarding if the working set somehow fits in your three caches, C1 plus C2 plus C3. In case of demote, it would somehow try to keep the whole working set between the three caches. Whereas in the promote, if something gets evicted from C1, it would actually go back to the disk.
Yeah.
So would that have any performance impact that now you would have working set going back to the disk and then coming back in?
Right. So. No, and that's what I mean when I say that promote tries to equalize the cache lives. So whatever it is evicting is as old as what would have been evicted from a multi-level demote hierarchy from the last cache. So, you know, it will get the same aggregate hit ratio for you. Of course, promote is a probabilistic algorithm, so you won't get exactly what demote gets. It might be within a few percentage of it. Sometimes it's more, sometimes it's less. But it'll, you know, the situation that you're saying will not happen, because promote will equalize the cache lives, and therefore it will not evict things if things can fit in all the caches.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
John Wilkes, HB Labs, one of the guys who came up with demote. I really like this. It's a nice new way of improving the way the system works and thinking about it from different perspectives. So, yay, well done. Couple of related questions. Have you thought about how you would embed the communication, the extra communication you need in the SCSI command set? And have you thought about how you might be able to do promotions without modifying SCSI command set at all?
I didn't quite get the question. So the first question is...
So with demote, there is precisely one additional operation which you add to the SCSI command set, and that's it. That's the only thing you do.
Right.
I was wondering how you would embed the promote operations and the additional bits you have to communicate back and forth. Have you thought about putting how you would communicate that using the standard SCSI CDB and its responses? And the second question, which is related to this, is suppose you weren't allowed to change the command set at all.
Yeah.
Could you still use promote? There are some ways I can talk about it offline about using demote, but could you do it for promote as well?
Right. So, yeah, so your question is mainly about the communication protocol, mm-hmm. right? So what I understand, the question is, how do we embed the extra pieces of information required for promote? So promote needs two kinds of information to embed. One is a single bit with every read reply that tells other caches whether a page has already been cached by lower caches. So that's a single bit you have to find in a read reply header somewhere, right? So for that, you, if you can use some field already available in the protocol, that's good. Otherwise, you need to change the protocol for that, just one bit. The other thing is communicating cache life from the higher cache to the lower cache at regular intervals. This is not on a per IO basis. It could be done once so many seconds or so on. It need not be in this protocol if you want. So this is the second thing to do. And I think it's a simple thing to do. So you have to do it, you have to change the protocol to make promote happen, similarly for demote. Well, in some cases you can say you don't have to. But I think this is an effort you can do with a lot of gain. So if you change the protocol in these little pieces, then you'll get a lot of benefit out of
that. There's no question it gets better. I like the challenge is, can you do it without changing the protocol?
No, so that's what I like. Yeah. So I like to object to that because, you know, if everybody thinks that we cannot change the protocol and therefore we have to work around it, it's not, we will not progress, really. You know, in IBM, I have the luxury to say, okay, you know, we control the stack, we can change the higher cache and the lower cache, and let's try to do the right thing out of it and maybe standardize it in some way so that everybody follows suit. So that is my hope that that'll happen, because this is a better thing to do.
In your work so far, I'm Garrett Swart from Oracle.
One quick question, please.
In your work so far, the you're assuming that the latency is the same on both levels of the cache, and as you start to let them diverge and say let the first level cache be 10 times faster than the second level, how do things change using your algorithm?
Oh, it doesn't change. So all that is required for promote, for all the proofs in the paper, is that the latency between the caches should be monotonically increasing as they are going away from the application. So if the one cache is too far removed, it doesn't change the comparisons at all.
Let's thank the speaker.
Thank you.